Johnson's decision to set up a high-stakes Saturday night vote and rely on Democrats to approve aid to Ukraine, now putting his job on the line.
There's no other way to describe it. It's surrender. It's disappointing.
I'm very disappointed. I just think the speaker needs to get home and listen to our base.
I'm well past the point of giving grace here.
Is it time for him to get out of office?
I need a little bit more time today, but it's not good.
Do you have confidence in him?
It's not good.
Will you vote to vacate him?
I haven't made up my mind yet, and he's pushing us to the brink here.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is leading the charge to oust Johnson, says she's still weighing when to force a vote, but says support for her effort is on the rise.
It is growing. I think some people are becoming more angry than I am. I don't know how long people are going to tolerate this because he's doing nothing but serving the Democrats.
Johnson defending his plan.
I'm operating with the smallest margin in U.S. history. The only way to get a rule on the floor is that it requires a couple of Democrats.
Johnson's move came after he shelved the Senate's $95 billion aid package for more than 2 months. Instead, he decided to split that aid package up into several pieces and to add to it other policy measures, such as a loan for Ukraine aid and a potential ban on TikTok. Yet the House is expected to tie those bills together in one big package and send it back to the Senate for final approval. The House will vote on a separate border security bill that won't be included in the final package that will be sent to the Senate, all of which a major rebuke to his right flank. That includes Congressman Thomas Massey, the second Republican to join the effort to oust him.
The strategy is not to try. I think the strategy is to fall on his sword.
But with just 2 votes to spare, Johnson will need Democrats to salvage the bill, something likely to happen with President Biden announcing his support. Now the question, will Democrats save Johnson's job?
Does he still deserve to be saved if it comes to it?
Well, I've already committed to do that. Bottom line is we have to show that this chaos caucus does not have the power they think they have.
I'll put it this way, if the speaker is deemed as working in the better interest of the American people, I would definitely consider.
All as many Republicans warning hardliners not to seek Johnson's ouster.
They want Russia to win so badly that they want to oust the speaker over it. I think they want to be in the minority, too.
I mean, this is one of those WTF moments where you have Donald Trump waging this campaign to undermine the rule of law. Bill Barr knows all of this, and he's decided it's a binary choice because in his world, in order to stay relevant and viable, he has to put party over country. I mean, literally, when he uses the phrase
literally
Russian roulette, when he uses the term Russian roulette, he knows the danger he poses. He doesn't have to do this. Look, what is extraordinary is the contrast between what Bill Barr is saying and what the former Secretary of Defense Mike Esper is saying. Vice President Mike Pence is saying,
yes,
no, I'm not going to endorse him. There are exit ramps. You are not required to look at Donald Trump and say, okay, because I don't like student loan forgiveness, I'm going to put a man who is clearly unhinged, who clearly tried to overthrow the government, has called for terminating the Constitution. In fact, we could spend the next 10 minutes just walking through all of the things. Somebody who has been found liable for rape. Put them back in the Oval Office. But I do think it is interesting, the contrast between Bill Barr and much of the rest of the cabinet. And we need to remind ourselves that never before in American history have so many people who work so closely with the president taken the position that, don't do this again. We've seen him. He is unfit for office. You do not want him back in the Oval Office. The fact that Bill Barr reminds us that he is a political hack is of course, interesting. But also realize what he and people like, Governor Sununu, are going to have to defend. They're basically going to have to say, and this is radical. I mean, we ought to continue to be surprised by this. Up until like 5 minutes ago, nobody in America would say that a convicted felon should be elected president of the United States. Now they are all saying it up and down the ticket. They have to defend what Peter Weiner calls the kaleidoscopic corruption of Donald Trump. And this is not just Chris Sununu. It's not just Bill Barr. up and down the ticket, they're going to have to explain that, yeah, we don't care about this man's character. We don't care about how deranged he is. We don't care about his crimes or what he intends to do as president. And the fact that Bill Barr says that it's Russian roulette for the country to put Donald Trump back in the presidency, and he's okay with that. What a remarkable moment.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
We're live from the Ahern Hotel, baby, in Las Vegas, Nevada, the luxury boutique Ahern Hotel. Today, we're going to have the Force Multiplier Academy starting immediately after the war room. You saw right there, there are many fronts of this war we're fighting today. Number one, obviously, on Capitol Hill, a firestorm. And here's how what a great job the war room posse has done in fighting this is that there are no votes scheduled, just some sort of resolution type vote on condemning Iran. That'll take place at 10:15 to 10:30. We're going to try to get some of the participants, particularly Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's leading the efforts here. And that's picking up a lot of traction on removing Speaker Johnson from a speakership. These bills are all an abomination. They're too irrelevant even to go through, because you're going to have we're going to break them all down, but you can't pass these. The Ukraine thing is particularly egregious. They're throwing up a performative bill on the border later. It's every bit as bad as we said. Johnson is lying through his teeth every time he comes to the microphone. Here's what happened. You took a guy that has no experience, no experience like in national security, although he's been in Congress for years. They give him a few of these briefings, which are all bogus. Right. The national security briefing, you get half of it is just spin from the defense industry. And of course, he buys it. He buys all of it. So he's like Crenshaw and the mayor of Dayton, Turner and McCall. These guys, all they are is running dogs for the defense industry. They believe all this stuff. They never ask pointed questions. So next thing you know, we got to have $1 trillion defense bill. And then we got to come in a week after that stride. We got to put $100 billion into a supplemental. The second front of the war is in Lower Manhattan. We're going to have Gavin Wax from the Young Republicans Club, New York Young Republicans Club, in a little while to talk about this amazing trip to the bodega in Harlem, which kind of changed the title. There's not the big media coverage you're seeing today in Lower Manhattan. And I think one of the reasons people realize that President Trump, Politico's got a huge story up there about President Trump kind of running for mayor of New York or governor of New York State, and how he's flipping the tables on Eric Adams, and how he's flipping the tables on Alan Bragg and Big Tish James. Let's go live to Lower Manhattan. We have the one and only Andrew Giuliani, who actually should be the governor of New York. That was a debacle. We should have won that primary. If you had won the primary, you would have been the governor, sir, because you're pure MAGA, and the candidate that was running was not pure MAGA. Andrew, give us a great shot. I want to thank Real America's Voice. Put us in the room down there in Lower Manhattan. What's happening today?
Absolutely. Well, you're right. It's definitely quieter here today. That may very well be by design, Steve, because what you're seeing is President Trump is getting the people in New York here that really Republicans have not resonated with for 25, 30. I mean, from a presidential standpoint, you could say since even Reagan in 84. I mean, so it's been a very, very long time, I think, since New York saw a Republican that really resonates like Donald Trump in terms of what he's able to deliver, the message, the forgotten, the fact that Democrats have forgotten them, basically. And that trip to Harlem is a perfect example. Would not surprise me to see more of this. I'll tell you, Steve, one thing that does concern me that's being reported earlier today is the one juror who was sworn and was picked of the seven who said he was fascinated by Trump. The district attorney is concerned with that juror And he is not, supposedly, sources say, been sworn in today at 9:15 when they were walking in there. That does concern me because he seemed to be the one juror or one of the few jurors that really was unbiased in this. Just kind of read a little bit more into it, obviously, from my standpoint. And as I said on Monday, and as I'll stick to, all I'm looking for, I think all America should be looking for, is as many unbiased minds on that jury as possible.
Andrew, here's my concern. I think Jesse Waters summed it up very well. And of course, the going after Trump, Alvin Bragg's already going after Trump on this for retweeting or putting up on Truth Social what Jesse said last night on Fox. It appears to me, and sources I've talked to, that you have activists, you have left-wing activists that are lying on the forums and lying in their interviews to get on this jury to be able to say, you know, I'm the guy that hung Donald Trump. Let me be blunt. The first guy that's there, at least has been posted, is, I think, from Ireland, now a U.S. citizen. Although I would check that with that Montauk crowd out there. Being Irish myself, I wouldn't trust any of the Montauk crowd that said they had their papers are in order. But he filled out something in the forum, or he said something that I just don't find. He said he watched both Fox and MSNBC. Now, brother, besides the War Room team who bitch and moan every day about this, nobody in America watches both Fox and MSNBC. That's just a lie. So I'm very disturbed. I think Jesse Waters is onto something. I think that they're activists that are lying. I don't know why Trump's people don't go for a mistrial right now, sir.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I would not trust really any of the opinions that any of these jurors end up saying. You really need to dig into their social media histories. You need to dig into all of the public records, get, you know, your private investigators out there looking into the histories of these people and trying to see whether or not they could actually be unbiased, right? I mean, it is impossible at this point to not have an opinion on Donald Trump. What you really want is, can you get 12 people, or at least maybe it's 4 people that are registered Democrat, 4 registered Independent, 4 registered Republican. We know that Mershon will not actually allow that and allow the defense to check what their political registration is. But again, this is an example of the judge intervening on what should be a fair and unbiased process in a place, again, like Manhattan. This deserves repeating. In Manhattan, 86% of Manhattan voted with Joe Biden. 81% voted with Alvin Bragg. It's not quite as bad as D.C., where I think it's 96% in Washington, D.C., but we are certainly a swamp in Manhattan in our own right.
Once again, we got about a minute. I want to hold you through the break. Are you saying the prosecutor, is it Alvin Bragg that brought up this morning, they're concerned about this one juror may not be biased enough and they're going to target him right now?
That's exactly right. They are concerned with the fact that he said he finds Trump fascinating. And because of that, supposedly, when the other six jurors that were selected on Tuesday walked in, that juror was not in there. And so this is, again, I think, an example of how Mershon is stepping in here and might be ceding to the district attorney, to Alvin Bragg's office, rather than actually trying to seat a fair and unbiased jury. He hasn't been struck from the jury yet. All I can tell you is that he did not walk in with the other six jurors. We'll have to follow that story, and I will follow up with you and the War Room posse on that.
Okay, Andrew, can you just hold? I want to thank Real America's Voice. Fantastic setup down in Lower Manhattan. Great shot and sound that works. We're going to take a short commercial break. Gold's up near another high, backed off a little bit, 2395 by 2400. Go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team today. Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down. And
a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty. And that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold and do it from Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome back. We're at the Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel today, all day. We're going to do two live broadcasts here this morning outside the atrium, and then this afternoon on the main stage where we're going to talk about machines. We've got all the Mike Lindell's Supreme Court team is going to be with us. In between, we're going to do a Force Multiplier Academy. Very different than the one we did in D.C. because we're testing different modules out. So we'll stream that on Getter, Rumble, everywhere else. So make sure you you watch Grace and Mo, and they'll tell you where to go. Make sure you watch us during the day. Andrew Giuliani is in Lower Manhattan. Andrew, talk to me about the media. You don't see the protesters. You don't see the media, the intensity. Is that some sign that, of course, MSNBC is nonstop. I mean, they're constant. But do you get a sense that the media feels that because of what Trump did in Harlem, what we're pushing back on, this criminal conspiracy against him, this thing about a mistrial because they're putting, obviously, activists are lying about getting on the jury. Do you think already the media understands they may have overplayed their hand here?
I think that's absolutely right, Steve. I think when you look at the reason why there's so much less media today, I think they're saying, hey, look, maybe less coverage of this from our standpoint is better. I think there are more and more unbiased minds outside the jury box. I certainly hope inside the jury box as well, that are looking at this for what it is, which is targeting the political opponent of Joe Biden. And because of that, I think the media may pull its punches. And Steve, to the point that you're making, I know that Gavin Wax will come on later regarding Trump's trip to Harlem here. If I'm President Trump, that went off so well that I would basically look at every single post-trial day and do something, whether it's in New York. I do it also in New Jersey as well, because New Jersey falls before New York. And I'd even do it in Pennsylvania. As you know, we're a 90-minute drive from Philly. We are a quick chopper ride from many places in the state. And I would make sure I would utilize this the post-hearing days to actually go to these places where you can actually reach out to voters, not just in swing states, but in places like New Jersey and New York, who I think are looking more and more and saying, hey, we may not have liked Trump's Twitter in 2020, but we hate what's going on with our justice system here.
You know, Politico, Andrew, said today that it feels like Trump is running from the bodega visit in the crowd response. That looks like Trump's running for mayor of New York or the governor of New York State. And Politico said in the subheadline, and it's working. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, look, you can see it with the polling, which is kind of the longer term polling in terms of African-Americans and Hispanic-Americans. Trump may be winning the Hispanic vote, which is kind of amazing when you think about that. And same thing with the African-American vote, where he's improving by 25 points that we've seen in terms of the tracking of this. So I think it's right. And I think, honestly, for the next 6 to 8 weeks, a strategy of running for mayor of New York, running for governor of New Jersey, if you will, I think it's a good strategy here. And I think it'll ultimately ring really true, not just with New Yorkers and not just with maybe people that Republicans traditionally did not reach out to, but I think that's true of some of these people in Detroit, some of these people in Philadelphia, in Atlanta, in some of the other cities, in Milwaukee, that are swing states as well. Because let's face it, New York is the media capital, for better or mostly for worse, sadly. And so Trump is going to ultimately take that. And Steve, you and I know better than anybody, certainly you know better than anybody, there's nobody that understands the way the media works and how to utilize it to their advantage better than Donald Trump.
Last question about the jury. You know, the seven were picked. Now you're saying one has been held back, didn't come into the jury box today. Your assessment, do you think actually we'll get the – because I think President Trump was kind of surprised at him. I don't know why his lawyers didn't tell him. He only gets, according to New York law, and they're not making any – Mershon's not making any exceptions. You only get 10 that you can set aside after the questioning. So do you think that we'll have a jury actually, instead of going 2 weeks, that we actually have a jury by the end of this week and start opening arguments on Monday?
Sadly, I think yes. I mean, I think this process, this jury selection process, as you and I have talked about many times, is the most important part by far. 95% of the importance of this trial is the jury selection process. And it should take as much time as it needs to find 18 unbiased jurors. It's obvious that the judge is allowing this process to rush across. And supposedly, the judge is even fine with this trial starting as early as Monday, which would mean you would have a jury selected. So that's another 11 jurors, because you would have the 12 jurors and six alternates selected by tomorrow, which to me is nowhere near enough time in a place like Manhattan that, again, is 86% pro Joe Biden. That's at least in 2020. I think those numbers have changed a little bit. But still, when you look at what the judge is allowing the defense, Trump's team, and the district attorney, Bragg's team, to actually look in with these jurors, it should take a lot more time than just a week. This should be at least a 3-4 week process.
100% agree. And you can see already the bias in the entire system there by trying to jam this into a week. Andrew, by the way, your show was incredible in its launch. Tell us about it, and where can people go to get more of you on social media, and how they find out more about the show?
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, well, we just started. We did a special. We're talking to Real America's Voice now about whether that's something that is regular, but all fired up. I really enjoyed it. I'm sure you can go on realamericasvoice.com and watch it from last week. It's a little bit of humor to cool you down at the end of the day. I always have trouble, Steve, at 11 o'clock at night. I'm still fired up like you are and angry, and I have trouble going to sleep. This is a good way to at least get a couple laughs before you go to sleep and be informative as well. But you could always follow me at Andrew H. Giuliani. We're going to be continuing to focus on this every day. Steve, I don't know about you, but I live a couple blocks away. I just went out for a bagel and I ran into a Trump trial over here. So that's how I got here.
By the way, I knew if I waited, I would finally find a Giuliani that had comedic talent. Andrew, great to have you on here. Fantastic report. We'll hopefully see you in the next couple of days.
Thank you, Steve.
As you know, the show's gotten in a little bit of trouble in the past with some of Rudy's humor, impromptu, calling audibles. We've got another cold up. Okay, two firestorms, one in Lower Manhattan in this show trial. Of course, Mike Davis and others are working right now this criminal conspiracy. And I think you got state AGs, you got people on the Hill. Somebody's got to get the ball rolling here. We're working diligently behind the scenes to make sure this happens, because obviously this is a kangaroo court and it needs to be dealt with. You have right now activists, pretty obvious you have activists that are trying to get onto the jury. And President Trump shouldn't have to, the burden shouldn't be on him to say anything. This should be the conservative media. This should be MAGA media, should be all over this. I'm not feeling it right now. You know, people need to do better. What Gavin Wax and the team, we're going to have Gavin up next. What the New York Young Republicans did the other day was absolutely stunning. It's got the media on their back foot. The Hill's lead story this morning, the Politico lead story this morning, was how the media was not expecting that. They were not expecting President Trump to come out and run for mayor of New York during the trial, and governor of New York State. And that's what's chop-blocked him. And this is just, it was fantastic what President Trump did, of course. And this is why I say that when Andrew ran in the primary, the guy that eventually beat him ran away from Trump, did not embrace. New York City's got a lot of MAGA. You just have to get the word to them. You saw that by the outpouring the other day in the outpouring in Harlem. Okay, we got another clip to play another free fall in Congress yesterday. Let's go ahead and play this clip. My favorite, Jamie Raskin and Comer going at it.
What business were the Bidens in? Well, what business did Joe Biden's family own? What business were they in? Did they have hotels? Did they have a social media company? Did they have golf courses? Did they have casinos? Did they have office
Mr.
buildings?
Mr. Chairman.
What business? Did they have an energy
Mr.
company?
Chairman, we have spent tens of millions of dollars Joe Biden, and you have not identified
a
single crime.
You are lying.
Really?
That's a lie. We have not spent $10 million.
Hey, how much have you spent?
We haven't spent hardly anything.
Oh, it's been for free. Okay. All right. Well, in any event, you know what? Then we get what we paid for because you got nothing.
No,
Biden.
No.
You've not named a single crime.
Answer this question. What did the Bidens do? What business were they in? Why did they get millions and millions of dollars?
Did
the Bidens do?
I don't know what business you're talking about.
We'll let the record show that Mr. Raskins could not answer the question.
First of all, did the Bidens receive the money? Let me start with this. My last name is Raskin, okay? We've sat next to each other for more than a year. You don't have to add the S. Number two, I would like my time restored. And number three,
you have not identified a single crime.
Well, what is the crime that you want to impeach Joe Biden for and keep this nonsense going? What is the crime? Tell America right now.
You're about to find out very soon. Charity recognizes
a propaganda experiment.
Arizona.
Thank you.
Okay, Jamie Raskins. Man, add the S and little Jamie gets all upset. Not upset your father was a commie, right? Your father's a flat-out commie, and you're a commie, too. You're a neo-Marxist. Hey, I got a couple of charges. How about bribery? How about treason? And right there, Comer, you can't play this. You try to play nice with these guys. Yesterday, the Mayorkas impeachment thrown out right away. The Democrats play smash mouth every single day. And this is why people are so upset about Polly Pockets Johnson. He's gotten two security briefs, and next thing you know, he's totally caved to the neocons. Completely caved to the neocons, and is basically doing he's a Democrat speaker. Every one of these proposals today is a Democrat proposal. Steve Bannon, don't take my word for it. Take Joe Biden. Joe Biden comes out immediately when they hit the tape yesterday. I urgently support all four of these. They're fantastic. The speaker is such a hero. And you're seeing it played up right now, of course, all in left-wing media. He's such a hero. He's standing up to his extremist base. Big headline in CNN this morning. Short commercial break. Go to Birch Gold. Gold near an all-time high. Find out why. Get Philip Patrick and the team to answer the question for you at birchgold.com/Bannon. Gavin Wax next in the war room.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money in our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video.
Friends out there, all you're doing is showing that you're scared you can't beat them on the issues and the merits. That's why he keeps saying it's a political campaign against me. That's why he keeps saying they can't beat me at the election, at the polls. This is the only way they could do it. And if you don't put him in jail and he still goes from being a presumptive GOP nominee to the official GOP nominee and he goes to the polls, even though he was going to whine about winning and being rigged again, you have given more fodder to that argument, which means we'll never have peace in this country because tens of millions of people see what extent the other side is willing to go through just to keep him out of office because they can't beat him on their own merits. And they're going to say, hey, you trumped this up against him again, and we'll have no peace when all you got to do is figure out a way to beat him on the issues. But you haven't been able to do it.
And you know what? The police can do it. They can stop it. But they have to be allowed to do their job.
There they are. This guy.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Nice to see you.
How are you,
Don President? How are you?
How are you?
Nice to meet you. God bless you, man.
Movie star.
Thanks so much.
Going to be a movie star, huh?
Thank you.
Good.
How are you, everybody?
Nice to see you. It was a great group right here. You don't get better. Good photographer, by the way.
Yeah, right?
Good photographer. That's a nice crowd you have out there.
Yes, sir. Well, they got this one business group that we've been here.
Buy the place out, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, nice to see you all. Yeah.
Thank you.
How the bodega's doing?
Great. I mean, we've been having
crime,
a lot of crime,
exactly.
And we really appreciate that you here support, because we, the Bodega and Small Business, we've been working hard, we've been supporting. We launched a campaign in 2020 saying we support the community and the NYPD, we need law and order. We really appreciate that because we know that you are pro law and order and you always support the small business.
Right.
So it's not really our.
Well,
you know,
Jose did a great job, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you for visiting our stores. Yeah. Businesses, our communities, our people.
It's
more than 1,000 words. It's millions of words that care about all Americans.
Yeah, well, it's my honor. I tell you, you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
And bravery, too.
Absolutely stunning. You know, campaigns are made up of those decisions made in the moment that the campaign can go one way or the other. Tuesday afternoon after court, you saw one of those. A major inflection point. Not me saying it. The Hill newspaper and Politico both led today with stories that the mainstream media trying to bury Trump were caught flat-footed. This was a stroke of genius. Gavin Wax, I can't thank the New York Young Republicans Club, you, Vishbura. Look, the event you put on a couple of months ago, which really President Trump came and he opened up like he's never opened up before, I think was one of the most important pre-run-ups to the general campaign. But yesterday was just a stroke of genius. Tell us about it.
Well, listen, you open with the gala. I mean, some of the inception for this idea started at the gala. You know, there was a lot of buzz in the air talking about a potential visit of President Trump to the South Bronx. There was a clip that had been released around that time that showed overwhelming support for President Trump in very blue districts and very blue Democrat-dominated neighborhoods here in New York, in the Bronx and in Upper Manhattan. And I mentioned that to the president. He was excited, and he said, let's set it up. So it all started from there, and since then, we've been in communication, pitching things, pitching ideas. And one of the ideas that I pitched was, you know, visiting Jose Alba's, former bodega where he worked at. Jose Alba, for those who don't know, was a victim of the anarcho-tyrannical regime of District Attorney Alvin Bragg. He was defending himself against a violent thug, a violent criminal with a rap sheet going back decades, years. And what happened to Jose Alba for defending himself, you know, stabbing his attacker, that assailant, and ultimately passed away. He was charged. He was charged like a criminal. And this mockery of justice went on for some time before the community, many of whom you're seeing in these shots right now, had public outcries against the district attorney's office, and the charges were ultimately dropped. But it just goes to show that the charges that President Trump is facing right now are similar to many other charges that are being faced by other New Yorkers who are just living their lives, who are living, you know, peaceful, civil lives, and instead of going after criminals, they go after law-abiding citizens. But I want to point out something with these shots right here that, you know, these are tight shots. These are tight camera shots. But I was there from like 2 o'clock on. People were lining the streets. This got out in the community. You know, we told everyone to keep it tight, but of course, you know, everyone likes to talk. It got out, and all of Broadway on either side was lined up, hundreds and hundreds of people. They were flowing into the median, Steve, between the roads. They were hanging off of the fire escapes of their buildings. They were looking out the windows of their apartments. I mean, it was a really historic scene, and even his drive in and his drive out, you know, he was getting a hero's welcome. It was something that no one would have expected. And we heard no boos, practically. I may have heard 2-3 boos. And of course, it came from a, an upper middle class white Karen who probably came up from Columbia when she heard it. But when I was telling the campaign, I said, go uptown, go further uptown. That's where you're going to find real New Yorkers. That's where you're going to find people who really want to hear you, who really love you, who want to see you. And this could not have happened at a more opportune time. It couldn't have gone better. And he followed this up with an association with the Bodega Association's joint statement, supporting his policy, supporting his Make America Great Again agenda, which applies to all Americans, whether they're up in the Heights or they're in the Rust Belt or they're in the Southwest. So this was a historic event, and compare it, Steve, to what Reagan experienced in the Bronx. You can watch 20 minutes of that old footage where he's getting heckled, for 20 minutes, 30 minutes straight. This was nothing like that. I mean, it was all love. It was a massive crowd. Honestly, I wish he was able to work the crowd even more, but obviously Secret Service had that place locked down.
No, it was historic. People don't realize you understood it. So you kind of mitigated the risk. But for standard political operatives, they just will never get that. I mean, this was historic. This was a show of force to Eric Adams, Alvin Bragg, and Big Tish James to say, hey, you want it? You got the, because all the media downtown is all white. Okay. All that media, all the haters, you know, for all you white nationalists out there, all the haters down there are all white. They're sitting there right there outside the courtroom like a bunch of jackals on President Trump. President Trump went up to the people. And man, because people are sitting there going, what a risk. That was a show of force of why New York City is MAGA. If you take the MAGA message to them, you've got MAGA, Gavin.
No, Steve, you get this completely. Many other, you know, traditional Republican consultants, these guys haven't won races, since Pataki or Aldamato were in office. They would have, you know, scoffed at this idea and said, oh, don't do it. This is you can't do it. This is too risky. This is too scary. No, you need to have some balls. You need to understand, the pulse of the country, where it's at. And honestly, the Heights, you go up there to these Dominican neighborhoods, some of the biggest shifts as a percentage to the right between 2016 and 2020 were in some of these working class Hispanic areas. These are areas that many Republicans haven't done a good enough job, even in prior, you know, gubernatorial races. These were areas that really should have been hit much more. They should have, you know, had someone like President Trump go there. And I'm not saying that any Republican could pull this off. Let's not diminish President Trump's own presence and charisma and his ability to work a crowd like this. You know, he has a certain authenticity. He has a certain, you know, something you can't really put your finger on it that allows him to resonate with crowds. It allows him to work these crowds like no other. You know, you put a stiff-necked, you know, typical generic Republican there, it wouldn't be the same impact. But you got President Trump, you got who he is as a person, you got his ideological populism that works well in these neighborhoods. And I told them, I said, you can't go, you can't do this downtown, you can't do this in Midtown, you can't go to the West Village or Soho or somewhere closer to the court. I mean, it would be a completely different story. Those are the type of people that are reading the New York Times. Those are the type of people that are, you know, claiming all these ridiculous things about President Trump and his movement. If anything, you need to go to these authentic neighborhoods, the neighborhoods that Democrats have forgotten, and that's where you're going to get the best reception. You're going to work with groups like the Bodega Association, like the National Supermarket Association, who was also involved, predominantly Hispanic. And these guys are on the front lines of dealing with crime. This bodega that we're looking at was held up by gunpoint less than a month ago. Less than a month ago was held up by gunpoint. So this is a recurring problem in these communities that no one is addressing. He goes there. He shows he's not afraid. He shows he's not scared. He can talk to the people and he's rewarded accordingly. And this is the kind of energy we need going into this election. We need people to think outside the box. And I think if he's going to be stuck in New York City for 8 weeks, let's make the most of it, because it's a microcosm of the country in many ways. All the problems we're talking about, crime, corruption, the migrant issue, the illegal migrant issue, it's all in New York. You could touch on any one of these issues very locally. So they may think that they got him stuck here. They may think this is a checkmate. But if he's going to follow up on these types of visits, you know, working with the club and other organizations, yeah, you know, he's going to have a ton of other memorable moments that will go down in American political history.
I want to go back. Look, as great as President Reagan was, you know, that wasn't a great trip up there. But right now, and this ties back to Capitol Hill, the reason President Trump go up there, he's not a neoliberal neocon. He's a populist nationalist. That crowd right there, if you look at that district voted, I don't know, they say 90% Democratic. If you actually ask those people today a show of hands of how many want to send $60 billion to Ukraine versus a couple of billion dollars back in their neighborhood, the vote would be 99-1 against. This is why President Trump is a populist nationalist. It's his policies and his personality that make people gravitate to him. Gavin, we got a minute. I want to hold you through the break. Your thoughts on, you can't go up there as a neoliberal neocon. It's not sellable. And quite frankly, the Democrats have been taking advantage of those people. Go ahead, sir.
No, absolutely. Look, I know the Democrat establishment is freaking out. You had that former illegal, you know, probably still an illegal Espalot who represents that area, you know, freaking out. He was getting ratioed online. You know, they're scared. They know that he has a connection to all Americans, and he can go into a bodega in the middle of Harlem and get a hometown welcome like no other. I mean, no Democrat or Republican would have had the streets lined up cheering him the way he had the streets lined up cheering him. I saw it with my own eyes. It was unbelievable. It was quite a sight. And honestly, for all the coverage, and the coverage has been fantastic, I think even with these tight shots, you didn't really get to see the crowds that were building up. They were building up for hours that they were there trying to see him. They were cheering him. They were trying to, you know, get as close as possible. So it just goes to show, this is the kind of stuff that's going to win this election. This is the kind of mentality that's going to push us forward. And it's his agenda. You know, he didn't pander. This is another thing I want to make clear. I saw him speaking to the press. He didn't pander. He went in there and talked about the migrant crisis. He went in there and talked about illegal stealing jobs from Hispanic Americans. He went in there and talked about the crime being out of control. He didn't change his position one bit. The typical Republican would go into these areas and start pandering, but President Trump stuck true to his messaging, the same messaging in Flint, the same messaging he'd give in Scranton, the same messaging he'd give anywhere else in the Rust Belt he was giving in the Heights, and it was well received because it's a populist message, it's uplifting, and it's part of this ascendant movement, Steve.
Gavin, hang on for one second. We'll take a short commercial break and return with Gavin Wax in Manhattan. The New York Young Republicans Club pulled off a tour de force. Back in a moment.
Now that we are launching into the general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a very special offer. Just in case you haven't made the switch to Patriot Mobile today. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service. That's a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need to do is stop procrastinating and go to PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon and use the offer code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon and use the offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the progressive left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message, just like you all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. The Patriot Mobile team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Remember, Patriot Mobile has 100% U.S.-based customer service. Get your free month of service and get it today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. For the free month of service, put in the code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. SPRING24. When you make the switch, you get the free month. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, in the next hour, we're going to get into all the firefight that's happening on Capitol Hill, and there's a lot of it. We're going to try to get MTG on, maybe some other congressmen. Also, we're going to go down to Mexico. Our own Todd Benzman from Center for Immigration Studies is down there, I think, with some law enforcement. We're going to get to all that. Make sure you go to birchgold.com. We're putting out, you can put your name in today because we're going to release the fifth installment about the central bank digital currency, the loss of your economic freedom because of the loss of your currency. Go check it out at birchgold.com/Bannon. It's totally free, just like everything here at the Ahern Hotel today, free, and we're throwing in a free lunch. We'll start that immediately, about 30 minutes after the show, on all of our streaming platforms. So make sure you stick around and watch. It's going to be great today. Got tons of great people coming in. The coffee, Warpath Coffee, go to warpath.coffee/worm. Get your discount. Dark roast, medium roast, mild blends. They got blends for the seasons, all of it. Go immerse yourself. Plus 4,000 reviews, the good and the bad. I think there are three or four not great, and there's 3,900 whatever. Fabulous. Go check it out. Immerse yourself in details over there. Also, sacredhumanhealth.com. Grass-fed beef livers. The reviews are amazing. Don't take it from me. Go see it with your own eyes. See what you see. Go to Sacred Human Health today. You want a shot of energy? A little grass-fed beef liver topped with a dark roast coffee. That'll get you going. That's what does it here in the war room. Gavin Wax, you know, I want to give a hat tip to Jason Miller. Jason came up with this concept about 2 years ago now, when he left the war room as one of our co-anchors and co-hosts and went over to the campaign, about putting Trump where he's best. And people think in the rally stage, he's great. Hey, he's best one-on-one with people. To put him, to send him to the fast food places, to send him out to get pizzas, to send him there with human beings. Joe Biden tried it yesterday in Scranton, an absolute bomb. And President Trump, to me, the most impressive thing of all the love and outpouring in the streets and the huge crowds you guys had and the love shown for him up in Harlem of what I would say of, you know, every ethnicity, race, even political persuasion, the outpouring of love, which reinforced where these polls are going. The most powerful thing to me was in the bodega itself. I mean, just the guy's humanity, the way he relates to people. You see that he's not the monster portrayed by the mainstream media. The Karens in the mainstream media, of which I might remind everybody, are virtually 99% white that hate him, right? You see him down there with the people. It's really amazing. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, you talk about, you know, iconic photos throughout history, these photos that really, you know, shine a light on the moment politically or otherwise. And, you know, we had our club photographer in there who took this amazing shot of these Yemenis. It was a Yemeni family who owned this place, Sana'a. That's the capital of Yemen. So the place has come under new ownership since the Jose Alba situation. And the owner and his son were there. And you see this look on the son's face. His eyes are wide open. His mouth, you know, he was like, it was something he's never going to forget, meeting the president of the United States there with his father, holding him. And you could just tell it meant so much to them. You know, these hardworking, you know, immigrants, these hardworking Americans who were there at their bodega, and they're welcoming the president of the United States there. And that moment that was captured actually by a club photographer, it's really going to go down in the history books. Then you go outside and you talk about the little kid that I saw there waiting all day, right by these police barricades. And he was talking to the cops. They were bringing him over water. He was playing with some toys. He was there with his family waiting because they heard, because, you know, this went out through all the WhatsApp chats in the Dominican community. They said, you know, Papito Trump is going to be in town. So everyone swarmed the place. You know, those little moments that are captured at stops like these, they say a million words. You know, you can have all the panels, all the political analysis, all the pundits. They really can't explain those just simple human moments where you have someone like President Trump visiting this bodega and this little kid, his eyes were just, you know, so wide open and so excited to see him. Those are the things that are really going to define, I think, this race, and they're going to define a lot of the campaign stops to come. And I agree with you. Jason Miller was there, and these have been brilliant moves by the campaign, and they're done effectively compared to Biden. You know, they go in, they get things done, and they're out. It's not a boondoggle. It's not too bureaucratic. You know, we moved on this within 72 hours. You know, this was a 72-hour type of thing, and, you know, maybe if we had a little more time, we could have had Jose Alba himself come there. But, you know, I still think it was a great event all around.
Oh, it's monumental. And a hat tip to Jason and the campaign team. Everybody knows they're thinly staffed over there, so just incredible to pull this off with you guys. Real quickly, because you're in the heart of the beast, I want to talk about the club for a second, and particularly how you're driving the narrative. You're not just, this is just not another standard neoliberal neocon, guys in blue blazers and khaki pants, you know, sitting around having cocktails at the Century Club. You guys are driving force. You got Vish, you got an incredible team there. Give me a minute on the club and what you guys are doing, because this is the heart of this campaign. You look in New York City, you know, New York City, oh, Trump can't win. I mean, hey, Trump's going to have a rally down in Madison Square Garden. That's coming. You could tell that he's getting fired up for this. And eventually that's his dream, is go to New York City, have a big rally in Madison Square Garden, pack the place, have all the streets absolutely packed with people trying to get in. That is definitely going to happen. You can feel it. Tell me about the club and what are you guys doing to drive the populist nationalist message in New York, of which it's getting traction in Queens, in the boroughs, everywhere.
No, absolutely, Steve. You know, we're leaning into this, you know, wholeheartedly. We're not trying to run away from the populism. We're not trying to run away from where the base is in this party. We're leaning into it. We're leaning into America First. We're leaning into MAGA. And we're doing it in a deep blue city. And we're seeing it pay dividends, you know, tenfold. I mean, we have never been larger as an institution going back over the last 100+ years. You know, this is one of the peaks of our institution in terms of our growth, in terms of our, you know, publicity, our membership, and all the other metrics you can use to quantify it. And, you know, we're on the ground. You know, we had a rally downtown outside the courthouse just this past week. You know, a few hundred people showed up there. We did this event up in the Heights. We're hosting the galas. We're hosting events. You know, it's a multifaceted organization where we're not just in one little niche. We're trying to build a holistic infrastructure to counter the left-wing dominance in this city. And those are the types of things we need to do as Republicans and conservatives. We need to build parallel structures. We need to build parallel institutions. And we need to actually do some, you know, community organizing and some party building. You know, the party apparatus sure as hell isn't doing it. They wouldn't have been able to pull this off this week. They would have, you know, been caught flat-footed because they have no idea what's going on in the city. You know, all they do is fundraisers. They do the same cocktail parties. You know, they do the same type sort of things they've always done. They cater to a few donors. They raise some money and then they pay their friends. That's the whole shtick that goes on in states like New York and elsewhere with the local GOP. We're actually trying to build something from the ground up with the people. We're trying to build these caucuses. We're trying to connect with these organizations like the Bodega Association, build new coalitions that people thought were impossible, but we can do it. We saw it there in the Heights with President Trump. That's a proof of concept. If we can do it in Harlem, we could do it anywhere in the country.
Gavin, how do people get to you? Website, social media, all of it. Where do they go?
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. You can follow me at Gavin Wax, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and GavinWax.com for my latest columns. And my book, The Emerging Populist Majority, is available on Amazon. Get yourself a copy today. Steve was grateful enough to write a foreword for that.
Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.